Right, so I'm speaking again, so apologies to those people who've been here for the whole session. And the pace is going to change a little bit, I think, from Stefano's presentation, more to an agronomic kind of study. So, all right, so this is some work we did in dairy systems in Australia where we were trying to get some understanding of nitrogen that might be available in the soil as mineralisation when we come out of the summer and into the autumn break. And it was a project funded by the federal government, by one of our major fertiliser companies in Australia, Incitec Pivot, and as part of a national nitrous oxide research program that ran in Australia from 2009 to 2015. And acknowledge my co-authors, Deli and Raymond, who are in the audience here. So just quickly through the background, our dairy systems have very high inputs in Australia, but the apparent nitrogen recovery in these systems is low. And what we think is that, you know, a lot of the nitrogen that's actually applied, so every 21 to 28 days or so, an application of fertiliser goes out, we get a nitrogen response, so people keep doing it, but the actual recovery is low, and we think this is sort of just building up in the soil. So we want to think of how can we use what's being put in the soil to improve the efficiency of these systems. And then can we actually use that knowledge to reduce nitrogen inputs so that the nitrogen in those dairy systems is not so high. So we did a 15N microplot study. These are the microplots shown here in a site in South Australia. So this is a major dairy area of Australia where the annual rainfall is about 710 millimetres in a Mediterranean climate. So this is a rain-fed system that we looked at as opposed to an irrigated system. So in Australia we do a lot of dairy under irrigation, but it's difficult to study nitrogen dynamics in those systems because they're actually extremely saturated and it's hard to see any effects. So it was acidic sandy clay loam with about 5.5% carbon, and it was perennial ryegrass dominant during the growing season. So we applied 15N 10% enriched urea at three different rates, with the lower rate being the grower standard practice for the area. We applied that once in May, so that's our autumn in Australia, coming into autumn, and we harvested at repeated times from those microplots, five different sample times over the growing season. So the growing season rainfall, and this went from May through to October. After each cut, so you can see the image there showing us cutting the grass off the top, after each of those cuts we'd put in non-labelled nitrogen so that we weren't restricting plant growth through lack of nitrogen. And at the end of the growing season we took out the soil so we could see how much was left in the soil, and we had sort of 432 millimetres of rainfall over that growing season period. So looking at our results here, so this is the pasture biomass 15N recovery over those five different harvests, and I've highlighted again autumn and spring because I realise we're on the other side of the equator here, so May is our autumn time. So the things to note in this table, I guess, is the variation in biomass productivity, so from about 0.3 to 2.8 tonnes of biomass was produced over that season, and that's related to differences in rainfall primarily and growing conditions coming into the spring. So we got over 6 tonnes of biomass off those sites. There was no significant difference in biomass for the different nitrogen rates that we put out over the whole experimental time, but at particular times throughout the growing season there was a significant impact of fertiliser N input rates. If we look at our 15N recovery, we found that the cumulative recovery, so if we summed the 15N that we recovered in the pasture from each of those cuts, we recovered about between 27.5 and 33% of the applied nitrogen from that single fertiliser application in May. And we had significantly more recovered in the lower nitrogen treatment rates. The greatest amount of recovery that we picked up was actually in the second cut, so normally we would have expected to pick up the greatest recovery in the first cut, but it came through in the second cut because we had this much higher biomass productivity than we did in the first cut, and we recovered about twice as much of the nitrogen in that second cut. And this is due to the differences in biomass that comes as a consequence of the differences in rainfall that occurred leading up to those harvests. I estimated sort of the value of nitrogen. So if we could utilise the nitrogen, so the nitrogen that was applied at that first application time, if we used that and reduced our nitrogen rates, we might save these sorts of small amounts of nitrogen. So this is looking at the nitrogen derived from fertiliser. So the top half of this table you've seen before, that was in the previous tables at the bottom, and this is then calculated how much of the nitrogen that the plants took up actually came from the fertiliser that was applied at that one time at the start of May. So not from each fertiliser application, but just from that nitrogen labelled application at the start of May. And so there was quite a bit, so even when we had this low biomass productivity, we were getting 40% of that nitrogen came from that fertiliser application. It reduced over time. What we can't tell from this study, I guess, is the difference between what we actually applied the next fertiliser time versus what might have come out of the soil from mineralisation, because we were applying non-labelled fertilisers. And if we look at total recovery, so this is at the end of the season, we got around 40 to 50% recovery, more recovery in our low input, lower rate of input. This was coming from a combination of the soil, about between 11 and 14% from the soil, with the majority of that in the surface. And then we had the biomass nitrogen recovery in the above ground and also in the roots that we harvested at the end of the season. So we've got 50% unaccounted for in this system over that six-month growing period. We've lost 50% of the nitrogen. And we did do some measurements on site of ammonia and N2O, because this was part of a larger program. And we found that we lost about 12% of the nitrogen went off as ammonia. So we could add that in as to increase our recovery. We didn't lose a lot of N2O because N2O emissions are quite small from these systems. We didn't measure N2 because we didn't have the enrichment in our nitrogen to do that. And we don't know what the leaching loss is. So there's still these unknowns in terms of the inefficiencies that are existing in these systems. Okay, so just we've currently got another project that's looking at a similar thing. So this first project was in South Australia. The second project is occurring in Victoria, but very similar climates. And what we're this has just been recently funded again by the federal government, and we're looking here at rain-fed and irrigated systems. So in the irrigated systems, we don't expect to get such of that benefit from the mineralisation process occurring at the autumn break. So just going to present a couple of very preliminary results from this study. So we're doing deep soil coring across this new trial, and we found we had this 76 kilograms of nitrogen available over 80 centimetres prior to the autumn break rainfalls coming through. This is the difference in our dry land and irrigated sites, and you can see the biomass growth on the irrigated sites, which is on the right, is much less than on the dry land sites coming out into that April. So the stored nitrogen that's been in the dry land site is boosting the productivity of the ryegrass at that time, whereas the irrigated site's been ticking over all the time and utilising the nitrogen. So we're finding that we get these very flat nitrogen response curves at this autumn break period on both irrigated and dryland systems, and this is something that the growers have identified. They don't know how much, whether they should not be putting nitrogen out or whether they should just keep going with the same rate that they use for the rest of the year, and this is what we're trying to pick up from that. So again, we did a 15N study at this site, and we applied the 15N into the soil at the time of that, as that break was coming through, And we found that we had a large proportion of the nitrogen was coming from the soil. So our nitrogen derived from soil ranged from 80% to 95% on that irrigated site. So this is kind of promising in terms of better utilisation of soil nitrogen when we get an understanding of what's going on. And we actually found very similar pattern in the irrigated system. So we would have thought that we'd get less mineralisation and supply of soil nitrogen in the irrigated systems, but we actually found quite similar results there. So just in conclusion, so we found that less than 50% of our applied nitrogen was retained in the pasture and the soil. So we have this loss of 50% to various loss pathways. Over the 6 months, the plants continued to take up that nitrogen, but progressively less and less, as we would expect. The N in the plants that came from that one fertiliser application at the break dropped over the 6 months from 40 to 10%. The soil was retaining some of that nitrogen over that time. It was primarily used early, which is because it's readily available. And then using these low rates were found to be sort of more productive in terms of nitrogen use efficiency. And so what we're thinking in some of these dairy systems is that we can actually start sort of mining soil nitrogen in the short term to reduce the nitrogen loads in that organic pool and better utilise that. Thank you. So do they take account of manure and urine deposition?
Yeah.
No, not really. So there's usually, people would go with a nitrogen application rate that would have been determined from nitrogen response trials conducted sometime in the past and generally just run with that. Some of the better growers will be, some of the growers in those areas where we're studying now are not putting fertiliser out at the break because they're relying on the organic nitrogen. Yeah. But the problem with the animal depositions is the variability across the site. So it's too risky to not fertilise because some areas wouldn't be very productive.
Yeah.